Good morning and welcome to Ballyhenry on this Sunday, the 16th of January 2022. Welcome in person, welcome on Zoom, welcome listening again online or on CD. Couple of announcements. Can I remind members of our congregational committee that we have a meeting here on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. And then on Wednesday, we have the first gathering for this year of our fellowship groups. We currently have four fellowship groups that meet here on site within the church complex, and one group which meets on Zoom. Study books for this term are available for purchase this morning from Nessie in the welcome area. These are priced £5 each. And the book entitled Need to Know by Gary Miller is also available on Kindle if you prefer to read a book in that way. Questions for this week can also be picked up this morning, and they have also been emailed to fellowship group members. If you're not currently in a fellowship group and you would like to join one, if you speak to me in the next day or two, we will get you into a group. And then last Sunday, I announced the death of Mrs. Amy Kavanagh. That's Colleen Crothers' mum. A service of thanksgiving for the life of Mrs. Kavanagh will take place here in the church this Tuesday, the 18th of January at 12:15 p.m. In the Bible, in Psalm 16, we read these words, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." Let us worship God as we stand together to sing our opening praise. We're singing, "Our God is an awesome God, leading into all people that on earth do dwell."
Our God
Thanks to Serena and squad for playing this morning. Let's pray together. Father, on this Lord's Day, you have gathered us together, a family of your people here in Ballyhenry. Yet, Lord, although we are together, the circumstances of our lives are very varied and different from each other. This morning, the Bible tells us that you see us and you know us. There is nowhere that we have been, nothing that we have done, no hopes that we have had or tears that we have shed that you have not seen in this past week. So in this place of not hiding, not pretending, we come to you. Thankful for your welcome, in need of your forgiveness, honest in how we feel. Father, in this hour together, stir in us a trust in your unfailing love. Allow us to know and experience a joy in your salvation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come to the point now for children who are watching in on what is going on. We have a story that we are going to watch together on the screen. It's a short story from Mark's Gospel, and it is a story about Jesus. So let's watch this together.
Stories of the Bible. Jesus calms the storm. This is Jesus.
Heyo!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus was on earth, he taught everyone about God's love and healed people from their sickness. He did many miracles, like walking on water.
Oh, hey guys.
And even raised people from the dead.
Wahoo!
One day, after preaching to a crowd of people, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake."
You got it.
So they got into a boat and started out. Other boats followed him too. And as they sailed across, Jesus fell asleep.
Uh-oh.
But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke Jesus up, shouting,
"Hey, Jesus, wake up!
Save us! We are going to drown! Don't you care if we drown?" Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, saying,
"Shush, shush.
Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him."
Well, that is a story about a time when there was a terrible storm. And those disciples, some of them were fishermen. They knew what it was to be out on a boat in a big lake, and they were not easily scared. But on this particular occasion, they were terrified. But what they didn't actually realize was that they were safe, and they were safe because Jesus was with them. But they did feel scared, and they cried out, and they woke Jesus up, and Jesus stood up, and he calmed the storm. All along, however, they were safe because Jesus was with them. In my study at home, I have a calendar, and it's a calendar of photographs by John down at the back. And on this calendar and in this calendar, there's pictures for every month, and the pictures show us different seasons. So there's pictures that are lovely and calm. There's pictures that are a bit more stormy. There's pictures where the clouds are gray, and there's pictures where the sun is shining. No matter what season of life we find ourselves in, no matter what's going on out there, or no matter what's going on in here, the story that we've just watched reminds us that it makes all the difference when you know that the Lord Jesus is with you. So let's remember that as this morning we remember the story of Jesus, his disciples, the boat, and the great big storm. We're going to sing together a song. It's a song that speaks about how powerful and great the Lord Jesus is. It's entitled, "You're the Word of God the Father."
Every star and every planet.
the benefit of those of you who are visiting this morning, let me introduce this next item by reminding you that here in Ballyhenry, we have a relationship with a mission organization in Cambodia called Eggshell Cambodia. It's one of a number of global mission partnerships that we have here in the congregation. And our relationship with Eggshell is headed up by one of our elders, and Martin is going to come now and give us a little bit of an update just about the work of Eggshell.
Good morning. Take that off. Good morning. This primarily is an update of thanks, not just about Eggshell to start off with, but I'll move on to Eggshell in a moment. Kyle, do you want to put the slides up? So you can see at the end of the year from the Mission Fund, we were able to give donations to a number of organizations. These organizations, these are not one-offs. We do this almost every year. In fact, we've done it for as long as I can remember, although as long as I can remember is not very long because I can't remember what I had for breakfast. But you know, we've been doing this for many, many years. And you can see up there organizations that we partner with and partner with us and we support. So the fact that we meet here on a Sunday morning is fantastic and important. But beyond these doors, we have an impact both through our prayer support, our practical support, and our financial support. Just picking out one, AfriCare, maybe people might not know an awful lot about AfriCare. There's a newsletter just on the notice board on the right. I'm not suggesting that you spend lots of time standing in the foyer, but if there's not many people around and you want to find out a bit more, they have a website. And there's a newsletter there from AfriCare. They work in Uganda. Let me just pick out Eggshell. So if we skip on to the next slide, you will know from the background that things like in here, in Northern Ireland and the UK and in Europe, Cambodia has been pretty bad as well. But in terms of Eggshell as an organization, you'll hopefully remember that the site that we were in became full. We wanted to do something else. We ended up finding another building, and there's a couple of pictures of the new building that we had signed a five-year lease on. The building wasn't completed, so two pieces of good news. First of all, the building is complete, and the next slides will show you just back before, in fact, there's the work going on to complete the business, to complete the building. And then the next couple of slides, you will see kids opening the building. They did a formal opening just before Christmas. And then there's a beautiful picture of the butter wouldn't melt of the kids. And yes, they do look lovely, but it's not always like that. So that was just before Christmas that all happened. The second piece of good news is that Eggshell has been closed. Daycare, because of COVID, has been closed since February. I actually didn't realise until I checked the mark, it's actually since February, almost a year. But government has given permission to open tomorrow. So they will be moving in for the first time to their new building as of tomorrow. Eggshell themselves wanted to say thank you to all supporters. So they put together a short video. It's only 2 minutes. And Kyle's going to let you see the video now.
My name is Sok Heng, and I am the operation manager at Charles Haven under of Asia Cambodia. And I would like to show you our new daycare. So in this area, we are going to have when the children come in, they register and then also this area. We have they going where they are going to have lunch and snacks time here. So here is our kitchen area for our children. So once they finish cooking and then bring the food outside and where the children is over there. Here is our office floor. We have our lunch here for the staff when they have a break time, they can have a rest here. And we have our locker for all the staff, and we're going to have a coffee table here for staff. And here is my office with list. So this is our baby room, so it will be 0 to 1 years old. And we are planning to have by hoping next year we can have a baby. Okay, this is another classroom. We're going to have a children age from 2 to 3 years old. So we have very nice classroom. Can put 10 children here. Okay, so here is our roof of the building, which is we are turning to the play area. So we will have our children play in this area. And it's very safe and protected. I hope you enjoy watching the video, and I would like to say thank you very much for your supporting, and we will continue to update what we are doing. And at the moment we have 6 classrooms, and by the end of 2022 we want to have 60 children. So it would be great, and I want to wish I pray that God bless you and keep you well. Thank you very much for your support again. Thank you.
In case you didn't pick up, that's Sukang. She's the head daycare worker. Her English is excellent, although maybe it doesn't come when you have to tune in to the accent a little bit, but effectively what she said was they hope to have 60 kids by the end of the year. I think that's a bit ambitious, but we're at 10 at the minute, and the plan is to grow, recruit staff, train staff, and then start bringing additional kids in. Final slide, just to say that you may remember there was 9 of us planned to go out to Cambodia to work with them in 2020. COVID hit, that didn't happen. We tentatively planned to go 2021, that didn't happen. We are firm planning now, in the faith that things will change. So we're looking at the back end of this year to go back out again. Now hopefully things will change and fundraising will be possible, otherwise it's going to be extremely expensive. But we are planning to go probably October, November time this year. And as I said, there's 9 people already signed up. I just, because it's been 2 years, think circumstances may have changed for people, so if anybody's interested and might want to come along with us, give me a call, send me an email, mission@ballyhenry.org, or I'll hang around outside afterwards if anybody wants to chat, or give me a call if you have my number. Thank you.
Martin, thank you, and it's brilliant to receive that update and to be looking forward to things and being able to plan ahead and seeing where all of that takes us. Just before our prayers for others, if our young people, they want to leave for Bible class. And as they do, let's pray together. Father, every day on our news, we hear of the lives of those who have power. We hear of those who have privilege. And we hear of those who enjoy celebrity status. The details of their lives fill our horizons as we look out upon the world. But Father, the Bible tells us that your eyes are often upon those who otherwise would not be seen. Your ears are open to those who otherwise would not be heard. And your heart beats with mercy and compassion for those who otherwise would be forgotten. Father, we have heard this morning news from Cambodia and the work of Eggshell. We thank you that it has become possible for their daycare to open again tomorrow. And we pray that, Father, that would go well. We pray that you would give them a huge, encouraging sense of you being with them and in this, And as they look to the year ahead, and as folks here plan about the possibility of going out to Cambodia, Lord, we pray your guidance and your leading. Closer to home, Lord, we pray for those who are finding this time a time that's tough going and a time of struggle. We pray particularly, Lord, for our young people. And we pray for young people, Father, who have found the last year and more to be really difficult. That long season of homeschooling, where so much of the social aspects of life were stripped away. And even now, Lord, having to go to school in environments that are different and distanced, and where so much of the school experience is still not available because of restrictions and challenges. Pray particularly, Lord, for young people, maybe within our congregation or within our wider community, who are struggling with their mental health. Or those, Father, struggling with relationships and maybe finding themselves left out or bullied, finding it hard perhaps to make friends. Lord, we pray for your hand upon our young people and pray your protection and keeping upon them. Lord, in the wider context, we pray this morning, Lord, following the shocking news in the past week of the murder of schoolteacher Aisling Murphy in Tullamore, County Offaly. Father, we pray for the family of this young lady who went out for a run and who never came home. We pray for those young children who were in her class that she taught at school. Pray for members of her Camogie Club. We pray for her wider community, Lord, devastated by this loss. And Lord, we pray that you would challenge all of us in our actions and attitudes. We may play our part in shaping a society where women feel valued and safe. Pray, Father, for our own congregation. Pray particularly, Lord, this morning for those who are in hospital. Conscious that for some who are in hospital, Lord, that involves being in contexts where they are not able to be visited, even by close family. And we pray this morning that they would know your presence and your nearness. Pray for those, Lord, who are bereaved. Pray for Colleen and her family as they prepare for her mum's funeral here on Tuesday. Lord, as we continue to journey forward as a church family, help us to be kind with each other, supportive, thoughtful, as together we go through the changing seasons of life. And Father, we pray that in the week to come, you would give us your perspective on life. The people who see us or work with us or observe us would see that we walk to the beat of a different drum. We serve a different Lord. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together our next hymn, Because He Lives. Thank you. Last Sunday, we had the first installment in a short two-part series for New Year 2022 entitled Life on Hold. And as we saw, there was and is a question mark in the title. Life on Hold. In introducing that theme, we acknowledge that at so many levels in our lives, in our families, in our community, it can at this time feel that life is on hold. And of course, that feeling and that awareness is rooted in the many and ongoing ways in which the COVID pandemic is complicating and frustrating and biting at the heels of who we are, how we live, and what we are able to do. Yet with all these realities around us, last week we saw how the Bible speaks into this moment. And it tells us that for the person of faith, life is not on hold. And so we listen to the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. And there we find four truths capable of framing all the unknowns of this incoming year. There was a personal invitation: trust in the Lord with all your heart. There was an important warning: do not lean on your own understanding. There was a heartfelt appeal: in all your ways submit to him. And there was a clear promise: he will direct your paths. This morning, for this follow-on talk, I want to invite us to turn together to the New Testament section of our Bibles. In a similar way to last Sunday, I want us to focus in on two verses. And our text for today comes from a New Testament letter written by the Apostle Paul to the small Christian church in the city of Philippi. So here is real truth, shared by a real person, written to real people seeking out to live their Christian faith at a real moment in history. Let's read together Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. This is God's word. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to suggest to you that these two verses are well worth learning. Here are verses to write out on a piece of paper. Here are verses to type into the notes section on your phone. Here are verses to keep in a drawer at the side of your bed. I once heard somebody refer to certain verses in the Bible as fighter verses. Verses that equip you and enable you to keep going in the life of faith, no matter what life brings. These are fighter verses. And they begin in verse 6 with a challenging command. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, in the original language of the New Testament, these words are framed using what is called an imperative verb. An imperative verb does not offer you advice. It's not saying, you might find this will work for you. Neither does it offer suggestions. You know, kind of, some people have found this helpful. No, an imperative verb gives you a command. Here is the way to go. In this verse, followers of the Lord Jesus are commanded not to be anxious about anything. Now, God's word is always written from a context to a context. And when the Apostle Paul wrote this, where do you imagine him? Do you imagine him sitting in a lovely study? Do you imagine him sitting in a nice, orderly office? No, Paul's not in any of those places when he's writing these words. Paul is in prison. And so Paul is living in a situation where he literally didn't know whether he was going to be executed or whether he was going to be allowed to live. And it's evident from earlier in Philippians that Paul genuinely didn't know. Paul, close to the Lord, and yet facing into personally a very uncertain future. Would the weeks ahead for him bring freedom or more days of complete uncertainty? He didn't know. But what if you read these words and you say, well, look, I can't help worrying. And as I look ahead at the minute, there's a whole lot of things I'm worried about. It's just how I'm made. Well, last week I mentioned the name of Pablo Martinez to you. He's a Christian, he's a Bible teacher, but he's also a trained psychiatrist. So here's someone who is trained to think biblically about how we approach life. Pablo Martinez very helpfully distinguishes between what he talks about as two different types of anxiety. There is what he calls temperamental anxiety. It's what we would describe as being a worrier. And of course, some people are particularly prone to this. Writing as someone who is both medically trained and a Christian, Martinez writes that God is not offended by this kind of anxiety. He understands how you're made. He knows your genes. He knows the experiences and even the traumas you've been through. And he gently draws alongside those who are naturally anxious, helping us, as we will see, to bring our anxieties to him. But there is another kind of anxiety which Martinez says we are being told here to turn away from. It's what he calls fretting. Fretting looks into the future and sees only the things that we can imagine in our minds. It sees problems, it sees threats, it sees bad things, and it focuses on these things. And it turns these things over and over without any attempt to see or believe that God will also be there in the future. So a fretting person longs to be in control of the future. A fretting person feels as if they need to be in control of the future, and they get weighed down when they know that they are not in control. And they try to work it out themselves, and they try to guess it out themselves, and they try to think it out themselves without any reference to God. And so the Christian is told here to turn away from this kind of fretful anxiety. It's a challenging command, but it is followed up by a positive encouragement. What are we to do? What are we to do with our worries? What are we to do when we look into a future where we know that we're not in control? Do we cross our fingers and hope for the best? Do we touch wood and hope that this year will be better than the last? No, it's into the real world of real life that the second part of Philippians 4 verse 6 speaks. In every situation, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. When the Bible tells us not to worry, it doesn't tell us that in a kind of a pull yourself together kind of way. No, in fact, that quote, do not worry, is not only a quote from the Bible, it's a quote from the lips of Jesus himself. It is Jesus who says, do not worry. Now, this changes things, and it changes our perspective on things, because it is this same Jesus who now invites us to bring the very things that are worrying us, to name them before him, and to hand them over to him. And so this becomes an encouragement, not for us to deny our worries, but to bring our worries and to turn them into prayers. And it's at this point that the language of worry gets turned into the language of trust. Saying, Lord, here's something that's really worrying me. Here's something I'm anxious about. And here's the, you know, often you have the worry behind the worry. You know, people know you're worried about something, but really you're worried not just about that thing, you're worried about something that lies in behind it. Well, if that happens, then what if that happens? Being able to be really honest with the Lord and bring those things to him. And bringing those things to him, believing that he is bigger than our worries, and believing that he goes ahead of us and he can carry us. Now, we talked about this last week. There's a lot of talk in our society now about Christian values. And it's as if society in our minds can be, we can think of it as, you know, there's two types of people in society. There's people who live their lives by Christian values, and there's people who don't live their lives by Christian values. But that is not the way it works. Because at its core, a Christian is not someone who is trying to live their lives by Christian values, however we define those. A Christian is somebody, rather, who is in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a Christian, being a Christian, is about walking through life in a daily, trusting relationship with him. A Jesus who holds the universe together in his hands. A Jesus who loves you and is good. A Jesus who was there at the beginning and who will be there at the end. So what an encouragement to bring the hurts, the frustrations, the anxieties of each day and day by day to set them down at his feet. And we never get ahead of this. It's not as if we can say, well, look, I'm going to be worried about, you know, this on Monday, this on Tuesday, this on Wednesday. I'll take half an hour this afternoon and get that all sorted out. No, we've got to do this day by day. Because each day brings its own worries and its own challenges. And so each day brings that opportunity to bring those things to him. So we have a challenging command, a positive encouragement, but tucked away in these two verses is, and I wonder, did you notice it, a key ingredient. Because when you reread these verses, you realize that we are not just told to bring our requests to God, but rather there's a key ingredient that needs to be added to our prayers. We are to bring our prayers and petitions to God with thanksgiving. Now again, remember where Paul is as he writes this. He's a prisoner. So what can he be thankful for? Well, I imagine Paul sitting down and thinking through the things he is thankful for. He is thankful for Christian friends who he can write to. He is thankful for people who have stood by him and helped him in the past and in the present. He's thankful for a conviction that God is with him. He is thankful for the hope of heaven. He is thankful for how God has brought him through all kinds of tough times in the past. Friends, I think there is a discipline in this. And it is a life-giving discipline. Starting our prayers with thankfulness builds our trust that we are praying to a God who is already alongside us, already helping us. Starting our prayers with thankfulness reminds us that God has brought us this far. We talked about this last year, if you remember. We talked about Daniel, how he was living in Babylon. And every day he was praying to God. And he was praying, we're told, saying, thank you, and then saying, help. When you read of what life looked like for a believer in Babylon, my goodness, there was plenty of things to ask for help for. But it's not where Daniel started. Every day he started by saying, thank you to the Lord for the blessings that he had received. And it was then he used that springboard to ask for help. So as we look forward individually, in our families, as a church family, here is a key ingredient if we are to grow as followers of Jesus in an uncertain world. People who ask God for help while at the same time praying with thankfulness. And I think we've got to embrace the uncertainty and not fall for the lie that if certain things happen, then uncertainty's gone and we know where we're going in the world. Each day I get a daily newspaper delivered to my iPad. And it's interesting when you read the paper plays with this idea that we're on the cusp of the uncertainty being gone. You know, we're on the cusp of coronavirus becoming what they talk about as pandemic or endemic. Is that the word, endemic? Where it means it's kind of there, but we can live with it and all that kind of stuff. And of course, the myth is that if that happens, then your life will have no more uncertainties and you'll have nothing to worry about. And if we could get this society where we could get those masks off or sit beside each other, well, then wouldn't life just be, all the uncertainties would be gone. Nobody would worry about anything anymore. Is that what your life looked like 3 years ago? Did you have no worries? Life is uncertain. Life is always going to be uncertain. Life throws all kinds of curveballs at us. And here is a way through, a manifesto for an uncertain year to come. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So where does this bring us to? Because taking God's word at his word and following God's word in obedience and trust always brings us somewhere, and it always brings us to a place that is for our good. These verses come to rest with the steadying promise of verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word peace can conjure up all sorts of pictures in our minds. Earlier in the service, I mentioned John's calendar, and there's a lovely picture in it of a couple looking out at a headland on a calm summer's day. But friends, the Bible's picture of inner peace is not the promise that there will come a bright summer's day when everything around us is calm. No, the Bible's promise of inner peace is of something that is neither the result of what is going on around us, nor is it dependent on what is going on around us. Let me give you an example of that. Turn to Psalm number 3. Psalm 3, verse 5. In Psalm 3 and verse 5, and that's back about page 544 if you have a church Bible. Psalm 3 verse 5 says this, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Now the title of that psalm tells us that David wrote those words when he was fleeing from his son Absalom, who was trying to kill him. Now, I don't think you can readily imagine a more stressful or a more upsetting situation to be in. You've literally spent the last day on the run from your own son who, if he catches you, will kill you. Now, how at the end of a long day like that can David feel content to pray, I lie down and sleep? Well, this takes us into the final verse of the following psalm, Psalm 4, verse 8. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole of the Bible. And it's a verse that has steadied me at times over the past couple of years. It says this, it says, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. The promise of God's word is that there is a peace that we can know, a deep peace that is God's gift to us, but it is not rooted in our circumstances, or it is not tied to events. But it is, to borrow a New Testament phrase that's going to come up in our fellowship groups on Wednesday night, it's to do with being in Christ and resting content in him amidst all the unknowns, all the uncertainties, all the storms, the worries of a new year. When morning comes, the person of faith gets up again and gets on again, heart and mind guarded by Christ, ready to step out once more in God's world with God at their side. And when you read the New Testament and you read the letters of the Apostle Paul, or you read the Psalms and you read the prayers and songs of King David, you realize that this is not some kind of formulaic route to becoming a Christian superhero who goes through life kind of armor plated and bouncing all the bullets off you and they don't show on you. No, this is what it looks like to fight. This is what it looks like to take the hits, to be and struggle with anxiety, to live in the real world, to have to deal with the stuff that everybody else has to deal with, and yet to do it as those who are trusting in the Lord, never alone. And so my prayer is that this truth and this promise will steady us and motivate us in our faith as we look forward into the year that's to come. And that truths like this will knit us together increasingly as a fellowship, as we look around us and realize, you know something? I'm not the only person who's struggling with things that I'm anxious about. But I can be pretty sure that the person beside me, the person behind me, the person in front of me, the person down at the back, the person up at the front, friends, we're all in the same boat in different ways. But the wonderful thing is the Lord Jesus is in that boat with us. So let's encourage each other with these truths. And when you feel a bit stronger than somebody else, let's carry each other. Let's be honest and open and grow together, trusting in the one who calls us together and who says to us, whatever 2022 brings, life is not on hold. And this is the place where he comes to meet us. And if you're here this morning and you know that you're watching this stuff from the terraces, as it were, and you're not on the pitch, in other words, you're not a Christian. Friends, this all starts by putting your hand in the hand of this Lord and saying, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I don't want to do this on my own. I can't. But with you, well, let's get up and let's get on. Let's pray together. Father, you know us. You know how we're formed. You know how we're made. And you are gentle with those who are broken and bowed down. And you long to get a hold on those who are proud and self-sufficient. And so, Father, we pray that you would work in our lives. Even now, as we name in the quietness and hand over the deepest worries of our hearts to you, doing this with thanksgiving, thankful for what you've given us. Lord, we want to take you at your word. We want to anticipate your peace, leading, guiding, going ahead of us as individuals, as families, as a church family in this unfolding year. And all we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude by singing together a song. It's an older song that was reintroduced to us a couple of years ago here in the church. "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
Just to rest upon his promise, just to
You're familiar with the fact that we've mentioned about our Hope Explored course that we were running. I know some of you had been interested in that. Just to say, we're delaying the start of that for 2 weeks. So if you want to mention that to anybody or you were interested in it, we're hoping to start that not tonight, but in 2 weeks' time online. And if you want to know more about that, you can contact me. So, Lord, we pray that you would go with us. And we pray for your keeping in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.